Welcome to episode 9 of Inspiration Sounds, a weekly radio show and podcast that aims to inspire and enlighten listeners with stories, folk tales, and parables from the pen of Sri Chinmoy. These stories are from the heart of the world, and I'm your host, Budhsamudra Knox. When we take time out from our busy schedule, and I'm speaking here from my own experience, but when we take a moment to relax, to connect to a different energy, the feelings of tranquility and stillness become ever-present in our lives. Then, when we expand ourselves, we can feel that our whole being, our entire nature, has become a bird that freely soars in the vastness of silence. Our lives began from silence. Now, in our daily activities, the current of silence flows under our steps. And once we have journeyed full circle, we shall return into silence. Sri Chinmoy writes, "In tomorrow's world, many things will enlighten humanity. But the thing that will enlighten humanity's inner and outer life most is the transcendental temple of universal silence." And it is the central theme of Inspiration Sounds this week. Well, I've had a flood of guests in the last few episodes, and today is no different. I am joined by Carnan Roberts from New York and Sanjaya Spettigue from Ipswich, England. My thanks to them, and of course to you, for taking the time to listen. I'm Budhsamudra. Enjoy.
This is a story written by Sri Chinmoy, entitled Read by Carnan Roberts. There lived a pious man in Bengal, India. Every day, a Sanskrit scholar would come to his house and read aloud a few soul-stirring spiritual teachings from the Gita, the Upanishads, and the Vedas. The master of the house listened devotedly to these discourses. The family had a bird called Krishna. It was kept in a cage in the room where the discourses were given, and also listened to these talks. One day the bird spoke to its master and said, "Could you please tell me what benefit you derive from these spiritual talks?" The master answered, "Krishna, you don't seem to understand that these spiritual talks will liberate me, free me from bondage." The bird said, "You have been listening to these discourses for the last few years, and I don't see any changes in you. Would you kindly ask your teacher what will actually happen to you?" On the following day, the master of the house said to his teacher, "Guru, I have been listening to your spiritual talks for the last 10 years. Is it true that I will get liberation and freedom?" The teacher was still. He scratched his head, pondered the question, but found no reply. He remained silent for about an hour and then left the house. The master of the house was stunned. His guru could not give an answer to the bird's question. But the bird found an answer. From that day on, the bird stopped eating. It stopped singing. It became absolutely silent. The master and his family placed food inside the cage every day, but the bird would not touch anything. One day the master looked at the bird and, seeing no sign of life in it, took it gently out of the cage. With a sad heart, he placed his Krishna on the floor. In a twinkling, the bird flew away into the infinite freedom of the sky. The bird taught. Its master and his guru learned. Silence liberates. Silence liberates.
This story is called Emptying the Sea and is written by Sri Chinmoy and dramatized by myself, Sanjaya Spetigu. Once, two partridges, a husband and wife, were going on a trip. Before they left, the wife laid some eggs near the ocean. Then the husband said to the sea, "We're going on a sea voyage. You must take care of these eggs for us. If we don't find the eggs when we return, we'll empty you." The sea agreed to take care of the eggs, and it kept them safe. A few days later, the two partridges came back, but they couldn't find the eggs. They screamed at the sea. The sea wanted to give them the eggs, but it couldn't find them. The birds cursed the sea. They began taking out a drop of water at a time and throwing it onto the land. "We're going to empty you," they said to the sea. Some little birds saw all this and they asked, "What are you doing?" The partridges replied, "We're punishing the sea because it didn't keep its promise to look after our eggs." The little birds thought it was a noble task, and they joined the partridges. After a while, some big birds took up their cause. They also started taking out water, drop by drop. This went on for weeks. One day, Garuda, a divine bird who carries the great cosmic god Lord Vishnu, came and asked, "What are you doing?" The bird said, "Can't you see? We are emptying the sea." Garuda said, "You fools, how long will this take? You will never be able to do it. The sea is vast, infinite." But the birds answered, "No, we have determination and perseverance." Garuda was very surprised and said, "Let me show them compassion. I'll ask Lord Vishnu to help them. If Vishnu helps, then certainly they'll be able to find their eggs. If the eggs are still in good condition, Vishnu will be able to return them. But if they are destroyed, he can do nothing for them." He went to Vishnu. "Vishnu, I've never seen fools like these. If you really care for fools, then will you do them a favor?" Garuda then told him the whole story. Vishnu said, "No, they're not fools. They're showing the spirit of patience and perseverance. This is how human beings must try to empty the ignorant sea, drop by drop. It is what seekers must and should do. The ignorant sea is vast. If sincere seekers want to empty it and replace it with knowledge light, then they must do it in the same way, drop by drop. I'm very pleased with these birds. I will command the sea to return the eggs." Garuda said, "The sea wanted to give them the eggs, but it misplaced them and believes they are destroyed." Vishnu said, "I'll use my psychic power to show the sea where they are." He used his psychic power, and the sea immediately found the eggs and returned them to the partridges. Then Vishnu said to the birds, "Perseverance, patience, and self-giving are all of paramount importance to fulfill one's divine task."
Silence forgives. Silence awakens. Silence illumines. Written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Butsamudra Knox. A young man of 28 opened a stationery shop to make better use of his idle hours. Monetary gain was, for him, secondary. He was a great aspirant and had a famous spiritual master as his guru. One day, while he was in his shop chanting his favorite verses from the Upanishads, a stocky man of about 45 walked in. His complexion was unusually ugly, and although his name was Hanuman, the monkey chief, his face resembled that of a tiger. He was the conductor of the local opera company, and everyone hated him for his rude manner. He shouted aggressively at the owner of the shop, "Stop singing! Stop singing, you so-called pious man!" The aspirant became silent. "When are you going to return my money? How many times have I asked you to give my money back? Isn't it a pity that I have to remind you so many times about my money? Money, money, about my money?" The young man remained silent.
I hear that every year you go out on a pilgrimage. You visit temples and spiritual places to acquire virtue. How do you reconcile your outer life with your so-called spiritual life? Your outer life is so full of deception, deception so full of deception. The shopkeeper said nothing. It is a pity that God tolerates a scoundrel like you. In his name, you do so many evil things, deception being the least of them. We who admittedly have very little to do with God care much about maintaining a moral life, a life of integrity. But you who are constantly uttering the name of God, you who are intoxicated with words like divinity, love, and mercy are far more apt to deceive people than just one, but day in and day out, day out and day in. The attack mounted, the customer's voice becoming louder and more pugnacious. It is beneath my dignity, in fact, to even speak to you. I knew your father, who was also a man of unscrupulous character. No wonder, like father, like son, like son, like father. It happened that the youngest brother of the shopkeeper, an athlete, 12 years of age, was at the back of the store, busily pumping air into his football. Until now, this boy had tolerated the insults of the customer, but upon hearing his deceased father's name being besmirched, he flew into a rage and came running to the front of the store. He was about to lunge at the customer and punch him in the nose, but the forgiving eyes of his elder brother, looking at the man with deep compassion, abruptly stopped the boy. The customer, in a tone that was now quick and trembling, demanded again, "Oh, why don't you give me my money back? I just want to have my money back, and that's all. My time is as precious as yours." The boy, puzzled, spoke out on behalf of his elder brother. "What money? When did you give it? How much? And to whom did you give it?" With a defensive smile, the customer said, "Young man, I shall answer all your questions one by one. How much money? 200 rupees. When was it given? 2 years ago. To whom was it given? To this rascal." The next instant, he flung himself at the feet of the shopkeeper. "Forgive me, forgive me," his eyes flooding with tears. "I have never seen, and perhaps will never see again, a man like you who is forgiveness incarnate. It is I who am the culprit. I have been trying in every way to trick you, to arouse anger in you, to make your blood boil, but I must confess that I have failed. I have also failed to keep my promise to you, my promise of 2 years ago. When you loaned me money, I said I would return it in 2 months' time. Never have you reminded me of that loan. Never. I've had many experiences in taking loans, and all my creditors became Shylocks. It is here for the first time that I have seen the magnanimity of forgiveness. You have forgiven my ignorance. You have awakened my soul. You have illumined my life."
You've been listening to Inspiration Sounds, Episode 9. My heartfelt thanks to my special guests this week, Kanan and Sanjaya, for joining me. And next Sunday, on Episode 10, we shall feature stories from the life of the Mughal Emperor Humayun, the second man in a long line of kings who ruled India for hundreds of years, and father to the most famous of them all, Akbar the Great. So join me then. I'm still Butsamudra. Goodbye.